comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like that.
Yeah. Here comes the, no. Here comes the.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dynasty Degenerates podcast, the flagship Dynasty podcast brought to you by the Gridiron Experts. I am your host, Jared Forrest. You can find me on Twitter at the Dynasty Owl. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Mark Leopold. You can find him on Twitter at Leopold NFL. Mark, free agency's wrapping up. Got some pro days. Now, Ole Miss's pro day was yesterday. The Twitter world is in a frenzy between DK Metcalf and the rest.
Yeah,
you've been watching pro day. Yeah, of course. I mean,
there's no reason to watch pro days. I mean, you find the stuff afterwards. Everybody's going to overreact anyway. And generally speaking, when you talk about things like the 40-yard dash, particularly, it's a little friendlier at the pro day. So I don't put as much stock in pro days as I do the combine and try to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I agree. For a lot of them, I just wanted to see, for instance, DK Metcalf's three cone was pretty terrible at the combine, and I just wanted to see his times for the pro day and see if, you know, they were similar or if something happened during the combine, such as like a, you know, he slipped or something, since you only get one kind of turn to go at that, which is ridiculous. I think they should get multiple turns, just like the 40, but neither here nor there.
And the other thing you really want to see is if there's a guy that opts out of the drill at the combine that makes you worried, you want to see if they go to their pro day and then do it there. And, you know, especially with something like the three code, if they opt out at the combine and then do it at the pro day, that's fine. I don't really care where they do that particularly. Or last year, a good example would be Lamar Jackson. He opted out pretty much everything. And you want to see those guys test, especially if you have athleticism concerns, because opting out is generally kind of a sign, like, you know, you're not going to do as well as you want, so you're just going to sit it out and not put that number on the board. So I want to see these guys test first and foremost.
Yeah, no, I agree. A lot of the times they're thinking that if they test, the only thing they could do is hurt their draft stock, which, you know, we may have seen from Kyler Murray or some others this past combine, but doesn't seem like anybody's draft stock was affected too much by not participating. If anything, may have helped them. So,
especially the running backs this year.
Yeah, we went over that last week. Yep. But speaking of running backs, 2 days ago, yesterday, Jordan Howard. Bears finally moved on from him. There's been rumors and talks about it for a while now. Traded to one of the landing spots that we coveted last week, the Philadelphia Eagles. In exchange, the Bears got back. Right now, it's a 2026, but it could be improved to a fifth. You know, you look at this from an NFL perspective, and I guess the Bears just really, really wanted to move on because a sixth-round pick is a steal for a starting running back, regardless of how you feel about Jordan Howard. And I am not the biggest Jordan Howard fan. I don't think he's that great. He certainly can't catch the ball, but opportunity is king, and he's certainly going to get it in Philly. Mark, we talked about this last week. So how do you think this affects Jordan Howard's stock going into dynasty year? And additionally, we're going to talk about the rookies here in a few weeks, but the Eagles landing spot, not that great anymore. I'm not a believer in Mike Davis so much. Do you think that the Bears could look into getting that, you know, big bruising running back to kind of handcuff with Tariq Cohen?
Yeah, on the Bears side, I think they probably should have gotten more, and I think it was just kind of a case of them being ready to move on and just taking whatever they could get. So I don't really like it for the Bears, but I also think – I agree with what you're saying. I think they're probably going to look to make a move in the draft.
Yeah.
Although – they don't have that much high draft capital. So it's probably not going to be a Josh Jacobs. It's probably not going to be a Miles Sanders. They traded away their picks. You know, obviously the Khalil Mack trade was a big impact. So I don't think we'll see it until day three, probably, if they do make a move. But I certainly think they'll bring somebody else in to help, at least for depth. You know, I think we'll see Mike Davis as the starter. And then obviously Tariq Cohen on third down situations and probably a few carries a game. But Tariq Cohen is not going to be 10 carries a game kind of guy. And Davis will certainly get some work unless, you know, they find a draft gem kind of like Philip Lindsay last year, who wasn't even drafted. So that's possible. But I think they'll make a late move. For the Eagles, I love this. I think they're just – the rich are getting richer. You know, they've obviously shown over the last few years they're well-tuned with kind of the analytics market, and there's a lot of buzz going around on Twitter now, especially from Evan Silva, about teams using compensatory picks to their advantage. So this is a great move for the Eagles because they get Howard really cheap. There's a lot of clarity now in the backfield for Philadelphia this year, and they probably won't re-sign him. He's on the last year's rookie deal, and so when he moves on next year and signs somewhere else, presumably, they'll probably get a compensatory pick in return. So that fifth-round pick, even if it moves up to the fifth round, they'll probably come out ahead on the Jordan Howard trade. So I think it's all good all around for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree with the Evan Silva take. You know, a lot of talk has been going on with the picks, the compensatory picks, and how the Eagles and the Patriots for the last decade or so have really played the system really well. So, yeah, this is going to be more or less a free move for the Eagles. I agree as far as where the Bears go. I don't think they're going to spend – well, they don't have the early draft capital to spend, but they certainly need the depth. You look at their depth chart, and after Mike Davis and Tariq Cohen, you have – Benny Cunningham is probably the most recognizable name on that roster. Ryan Nall and Taquan Mizzle, who I legitimately never heard of.
He got a little bit of run last year. He's nothing special, obviously.
Yeah, so you know they obviously need depth. There's still a decent amount of free agents out there, and we went over that last week. Maybe they go ahead and they bring in a bigger back, but something definitely needs to get done. As far as draft capital goes, I mean, maybe they do spend their earlier picks on a running back. The team as a whole on paper isn't bad. They got a decent offensive line. Obviously, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller. So the skill positions are decent. Their defense is very good. So it'll be interesting to see. They definitely have to address it, though.
Yeah, I don't know why. If I'm the Bears, I'm going out and I'm trying to sign Jay Ajayi.
There's obviously
not a market for him, so he's going to come cheap. Still only 25. I mean, I know there are the knee concerns, and so we're not sure how long he'll last. But you sign him to like a 2, maybe 3-year deal cheap. Make sure you have an out after a year or two. I think that would be a big win for the Bears. I know they could get him at a very cheap rate. I assume he'd be willing to sign over taking nothing. But since nobody's out there trying to sign him, they more than likely could get it very cheap.
Yeah, no, that'd be a solid landing spot. I think he'd be a good complement to Tariq Cohen. Very different running backs, and you know you could kind of pound the rock with the Jai in first and second. Bring Cohen whenever you have third down or second and longs, you know, passing situations. But that's a good take. I like that. I like Jai there. We'll see if it happens. But moving on to today's episode, since that was the only news relevant piece of information that we got, we're gonna touch on the free agency wide receivers and their landing spots today. We will go over a couple of trades, considering that the free agent class of wide receivers was underwhelming, to say the least, unless you wanted a slot receiver, in which case this was probably the best year in recent memory. However, the two big names were not free agency signings. They were trades, and we will start with Odell. I know we touched on this a couple of weeks ago, right when it happened, but briefly go over it again. Odell traded to the Browns for Jabril Peppers and picks. I think it's a win-win for just about everybody on the Browns side, except for maybe Jarvis. Unless you're in a full PPR league, I think Jarvis is going to resort back to his Miami days where, you know, he may have the same amount or maybe a little bit more receptions than Odell, but the yardage and the touchdown certainly will not be there. This is a huge boost for Baker. Top 3, possibly top 2 dynasty quarterback conversation. I know we touched on it before, but any change of thought as far as the Odell move?
No, I don't think anything's really changed since we previously talked about it. I think I'm lower on Landry than you are. I think we'll definitely see Odell out-target him and out-reception. That's not a word. No. Get catch. More receptions than him.
Good, just catch. I'll catch him.
Right. Yeah. But I think it'll be by a relatively significant margin. I think the biggest loser here is David Njoku, which really disappoints me because I love Njoku. No, but I think Odell's going to be in that first-round conversation for redraft league. So I think you have to look at him as kind of that wide receiver 3 to 6 range for this year. And obviously, Dynasty, I think he's back up probably behind Hopkins. And then he's right there with Michael Thomas and Davante Adams. So it's good for Odell. I think it's pretty much bad for all the other pass catchers in Cleveland, and then obviously Mayfield skyrockets.
So looking at the Browns, you got to figure they're going to be doing a lot of 3 wide receiver sets with a single back. So Chubb in the backfield, and Njoku as the tight end. You got Landry in the slot, Odell on the outside. Who's the other outside guy? Do you think it's going to be Callaway or Rashard Higgins? I'm leaning towards Callaway. I think Odell and Landry can kind of work the middle of the field. Odell can do it all, obviously. Antonio Callaway can take the top off of defense with his speed. So, me personally, I have a lot of Callaway shares. I'm still holding. Maybe wait for him to get a, you know, 2-touchdown, 80-yard game this year and try and get rid of him. But I'm still somewhat of a believer.
Yeah, I think it'll be Callaway as well. I mean, hasn't been that long since last year before the draft. We were talking about him as a first-round talent potentially. Yeah. Obviously had the off-the-field concerns and so slipped till, what was it, fourth round, I think. But they got him at a good value. He's obviously a very talented player. His rookie year was disappointing. But we've seen that out of a lot of guys that go on to have success. So I'm definitely not pushing the panic button. But I do think you have exactly the right take. Just wait for him to have a good game or two and then try to sell, because Odell's not going anywhere. Landry's going to get targets. And so it's going to be a squeeze for Callaway. He's going to be one of those volatile guys that will get some targets, but it's going to be tough to predict when he gets either long receptions or touchdowns. And so he's going to be kind of a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, definitely a best ball candidate. So yep. putting you on the spot right now, Baker or Luck?
I want Baker because the long-term outlook of the offense, I think, is better. Obviously, he's younger, which helps, but he's got better weapons around him. And I know Indianapolis is on the verge of becoming, I think, one of the elite teams in the NFL, but Cleveland's, you know, right there with them. And the offense will probably look relatively similar, at least for the foreseeable future in Cleveland. The only exception I see maybe is Landry. But Odell's going to stay around. Chubb's going to stay around. Njoku's going to stay around. Mayfield's going to stay around. And the defense is trending up as well. And all that's true of Indianapolis, but they don't have quite the weapons offensively. And Andrew Luck is obviously older. So for me, I'm going Mayfield. It's very close, though.
Yeah, I think the skill positions, there's it's not even close. I mean, I love Marlon Mack as much as the next guy, but Chubb is still obviously going to outproduce him, at least in the first half of this year. We have yet to see, you know, what's going to happen in the second half of the year with Hunt coming back. And then I know the Colts just came out earlier this week and said that Marlon Mack is going to be the workhorse. So skill position wise, I think it definitely goes to the Browns. So I also lean Baker, but now Baker or Mahomes?
Oh, Mahomes for sure.
See, I agree, but I am hesitant. I just love Baker. I love that offense. I love that team. I think most of the country is quickly falling in love with the Browns. I'm curious to see how the Chiefs, they got to switch things up. I mean, you can't. Andy Reid is a brilliant offensive mind, so he's always keeping defenses on their toes. So I would lean Mahomes as well. Only I think my gap is a little bit smaller than yours.
The one reason that I really lean towards Mahomes is simply the fact that we've seen it before. You know, we've seen him just put up a 50-touchdown season, finish as the quarterback one overall by a wide margin. We haven't seen it from Baker. Obviously, he's been good, but I know people are kind of reacting to the Tyreek Hill news.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. So,
right, until we see.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. Like, until we see, you know, what's going on, let's play hypothetical. Kareem Hunt had, you know, domestic abuse charge. Chiefs dropped him immediately, right? Tariq Hill seems like it's worse just on reports that we're reading. You know, I'm not going to go into it. We're not a political show. But speculatively, hypothetically, let's assume that the Chiefs take the same route with Tyreek that they did with Hunt. Let's assume, worst case, they cut bait. All right. Now, Baker or Mahomes?
Then it becomes close. And then I might lean Mayfield if they cut Tyreek Hill, but not until then, because we've seen historically with the NFL, they're very willing to kind of work around it. Right. Work around it unless there's video evidence. So I'm not projecting any kind of suspension for Hill. You know, maybe it'll come out that it'll be a few games, but unless there's video evidence, I'm honestly not worried. So it's Mahomes for me, and it's really just because we've seen it. But I will not be one bit surprised if next offseason Mayfield is the landslide QB1 in Dynasty. That would not surprise me.
I hope so. All right, we gotten off the rails a little bit talking about quarterbacks, so
that's fine.
Let's talk. It's our show. We can do what we want. Let's talk about the other big name wide receiver that got traded. Obviously, Antonio Brown moved on from Pittsburgh finally for just about nothing to Oakland, and it's going to segue into our first free agency wide receiver, also going to Oakland with the biggest contract, Tyrell Williams. Going there on a four-year deal for just over $44 million. Pretty big deal. You know, there's a potential out after 2020. But, you know, he got a little bit more than I thought he would. He's going to be on the outside with Antonio Brown. They cut Jordy Nelson, who then abruptly retired, which I thought was a little surprising. I thought he might have reunited at Green Bay for a year and then retired. Then the other wide receiver core, you're looking at J.J. Nelson, Seth Roberts. So probably Seth Roberts in the slot, but Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, both. I think Antonio Brown's stock is about the same as he was from Pittsburgh. I think that they're going to throw the ball a lot. He's another year older, so I was moving him down my rankings regardless. I think this is very good for Tyrell Williams to play opposite of Antonio Brown, who's actually going to stay healthy, unlike Keenan Allen, who can't stay on the field. So Tyrell Williams is going to be seeing single coverage. And then the tight ends, really no one. So whoever's working the slot there, if they do plan to put any of them in the slot, is definitely going to get some work too. I think it's good for Derek Carr, even though I'm not a believer. So, and I do not think that they're going to draft a quarterback. I know that's been
rumored.
I definitely do not think that's going to happen, especially with the signings this year of Mike Glennon, Nathan Peterman, and Landry Jones. So, what do we think of that wide receiver core? Obviously, it's improved since last year. I think it's, arrow pointing up for Carr. But what do we think of the receivers specifically?
Yeah, my initial gut reaction was that this was bad. But I'm definitely coming around the more I think about it, because Derek Carr has obviously had some good stretches and had some bad stretches. But I think it's pretty clear that this is going to be the best offense Derek Carr has played on. I think they need to address a little bit of the offensive line, but otherwise they're in pretty decent shape. They also just signed Isaiah Crowell. So they've got the running back situation relatively figured out. I mean, obviously he's kind of a jag, but he'll get the job done. And Tyrell Williams is a very underrated field stretcher. He's shown efficiency throughout his career. So he's a guy I like quite a bit. I like the signing. I think it's good for him to be paired up with Antonio Brown, because Brown will obviously draw most of the attention. So absolutely, I think it's good for both of them. I mean, Antonio Brown's going to get fed targets, obviously. And I don't think they'll be as efficient as Pittsburgh still, but I think the volume's going to be there. I think the offense is going to trend up from last year. So I'm definitely coming around to it. I think the production overall could be there, just maybe a little more volume-dependent than efficiency-dependent. And the offense is going to have to score touchdowns to get him there. Because obviously Pittsburgh scores a lot of points, and that means a lot of touchdowns go around, which are very valuable for fantasy. So assuming the offense picks up just a little bit, I definitely coming around to it. I think he could be very productive this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think Tyrell could be, a ceiling as a back-end wide receiver too. You did mention a good point. They do have to work on the offensive line. And granted, they brought in, Trent Brown. They have Colton Miller on the left side. So that seems to be fine, but the right side of the offensive line does need work. They did just bring in Crow, so he's going to be the bruising back. They still have Oakland career backups, Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington, who I feel like they've just been on that team for a decade now, just playing backup. The defense, they've been making some moves, but I still think they're going to give up a decent amount of points, which means that Carr is going to have to throw the ball. So, yeah, I agree. I think you're looking at two top 24 receivers there, especially with the lack of talent outside of them. I'm up on Oakland's offense as well. Something in my throat. Moving on. I guess Odell's replacement and a ridiculous contract. 4 years, $37.5 million to Golden Tate. Doesn't even have a potential out for the next 3 years. Just wasting money on a 31-year-old slot receiver, even though they already had Sterling Shepard in the slot. I don't understand the move. I guess it's decent for Golden Tate, considering that there's nobody else really there. But as a football move, it just perplexes me, and I don't really get it. But fantasy wise, sure, I guess go ahead and use him as a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, that's probably about as early as I'd be willing to take him in seasonal leagues. I think we didn't really touch on it for the Oakland guys. I'm buying pretty much all of them, Williams, Brown, and Derek Carr. But I'm pretty much selling every Giant that I possibly can. Now they have essentially 3 slot receivers because they also have Evan Ingram, who's almost just a pumped-up slot receiver.
Yeah.
Not really a blocking tight end. So I don't know who they're going to run on the outside.
Corey Coleman.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. I still got some stock.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I'm still a believer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what their plan is. Dave Gettleman is the most confusing general manager in sports.
Confusing is a word that I wouldn't use, but sure, we could go with that.
Oh,
I would use terrible.
Yeah, I was trying to be diplomatic. He's awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what they're doing. And the only person on the offense that really has any interest besides Saquon Barkley is Golden Tate, but I think you're right. It's probably about at the wide receiver 3 range for this year. So I'm trying to sell him in Dynasty. I think if there's anybody that's excited about Ingram or Shepard with Odell out the door, you can try to sell them too. But I think people are just kind of coming around to how bad this offense is. And it's going to be tough. So it's just not a good situation for fantasy pretty much all around.
No, the situation's terrible, and I think Saquon Barkley, I hate the term, but he certainly is a generational talent. However, this is very bad for him as well. With the lack of talent on the outside, teams are going to put everybody in the box, and I think that Barkley's production is going to go down. I think his efficiency is going to go down. I think the only person that I am interested in is just a – throwing out a dart at the aforementioned Corey Coleman. Like I said, I'm still a believer. Someone's got to play the outside there. Corey Coleman has the ability to do that. Shepard, I don't think, is an outside receiver. Golden Tate certainly is not an outside receiver. You got Cody Latimer, the Dynasty community was kind of in on at one point, but only person I would try and take a gamble on is Corey Coleman, and even that is, I'm picking him off of waivers. There's nobody that has him that's going to trade him now, and really not a situation that I want to go near. So let's just move on as quickly as possible from a 31-year-old slot receiver to a 26-year-old slot receiver. Adam Humphries going from Tampa Bay to Tennessee on another 4-year deal for $36 million. Slot receivers are just getting paid. Wide receiving core there is kind of muddled. You have Tajae Sharpe still, Tywan Taylor, who was your original slot guy, Humphries now, and of course, Corey Davis. Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis, still the running back, so you got to figure they're still going to be running the ball a lot. Delanie Walker is still on the team, regardless of how old he is, Johnny Smith. So there's a lot of skill players, a lot of good weapons, good offensive line, just missing a really good quarterback, but, at least now they signed Tannehill, so there's someone there. What do we think of Humphries? He's obviously going to, take away from Tywan Taylor, which is upsetting, unless you think Taylor's going to go to the outside and take over for Tajae Sharpe. But the wide receiving core there is just very muddled. I'm not a big fan of it. Kind of off Corey Davis for now. Love the running game, though.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. I think Tennessee's obviously going to build around the run game. They have made some indications that they're going to do that and feature Derrick Henry this year. As for the passing game, there's really almost nothing that interests me. I've been a Marcus Mariota believer since he came into the league. I still am, but now that Corey Davis is there and Taywan Taylor and Adam Humphries is coming, I'm really just not confident in any one of those guys individually. I mean, even Adam Humphries last year, who arguably had a solid year, wasn't really viable for fantasy. So it definitely puts a damper on the Taywan Taylor potential breakout. Corey Davis is starting to fade from, the realm where I believe he can become a dominant receiver, although I'm willing to give him this year. So I'm not trying to trade him yet in Dynasty, depending on where your league mates value him. But at the same time, his value can crater if he doesn't produce this year. So it depends where your league mates value him. You know, obviously try to get value if you can, but he's the only guy that I'm interested in terms of the passing game.
Yeah, there's really not much here I even want to talk about. I think they're going to be a running team first and foremost.
Right.
And I think that the wide receiving, you know, the wide receiving core is just too muddled to even try to predict anything. And again, I don't think Marcus Mariota is that good. So I just, you know, yeah, I would look to sell Corey Davis to someone who may still believe in him. I'm off that train, which is unfortunate because I believe in the talent, but the situation is just not there. So let's move on to a couple of Bills signings. We got Cole Beasley, another slot receiver.
Yeah.
Signed in Buffalo for 4 years, $29 million. Also, John Brown, 3 years, $27 million in Buffalo. Sneaky good signing for Smokey. I love that. I don't like Josh Allen, but if there's anybody that could, you know, outrun the defense and get underneath a Josh Allen 80-yard bomb, it's definitely John Brown. So I like that. You know, might be more of a best ball candidate. They still have Zay Jones. He's probably going to play the outside. Robert Foster finished the year with decent numbers last year. He's going to get pushed out a little bit. And then, obviously, with LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore, I don't think they're going to be trying to run the ball too much. So I'm up on John Brown. Really neither here nor there for Cole Beasley. Well, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I'm up on John Brown, but really only because he's coming from the Ravens. I'm not that encouraged by this signing. While Josh Allen did take a ton of deep shots last year, easily led the league, you know, relative to pass attempts, he wasn't particularly accurate with them. So, you know, let's say he throws a few per game. That's even optimistic, probably, to John Brown. It's very conceivable that they're off target and John Brown's going to have a couple of games with, you know, one for 10 and games with three for 150 and two touchdowns. So John Brown's really only a best ball guy for me. I'm not really interested in seasonal leagues because I think he's going to be way too hard to predict and you're just going to be pulling your hair out every week. Cole Beasley, not interested. We know Josh Allen can't throw short passes accurately, which is all Cole Beasley's good for. So really no interest there whatsoever. But props to both their agents. I mean, they're both 29 years old and they both got 3 years for Brown and 4 years for Beasley at solid values. So nice job by both their agents there. I think they both won, even though they're in Buffalo.
Yeah, Beasley got 4 years. So right. He's going to play up until he's 34, 35 years old. And then, you know, as a slot receiver, we'll probably call it quits after that. But, yeah, good on them. Good on the contracts. You know, Buffalo had the money. Yeah, I think it's for John Brown, it's similar to what I've been saying for a lot of the receivers where I like the talent. I don't like the quarterback. So I'll wait for a monster game. I could see like a 2-touchdown, 140-yard game where he just blows the top off defense on a couple of plays and, you know, try and trade him for a second then. But yep. Until then, yeah, I'll just hold and let him take space up on my bench.
Yeah, so, I'm not buying either one. I'm doing what you said with Brown. Hold, hope he has a big game early and try to trade.
Yeah.
The only player of interest on this team is Josh Allen, and that's for me super flex and 2 QB.
Yeah, last resort. So we'll go into one more wide receiver before we start pairing and grouping them up. And probably the best signing, I know this podcast is going to like it, Devin Funchess to Indianapolis.
Buddy.
1 year, $10 million. Gonna go right into a starter, be opposite T.Y. Hilton. Gonna have the dynasty two or three quarterback throwing the ball. You still got Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron there, but Chester Rogers is the next receiver. So it's definitely, you know, Hilton and Funchess starting on the outside. Probably gonna put Hilton in the slot, Rogers on the outside. I am a fan of Deion Kane. So this one kind of hurts, but, you know, it's only a one-year deal, so I could see Deion Kane kind of working himself into the offense for next year. However, for this year, wheels up on Devin Funchess. I think this was the best free agency signing for wide receivers. I don't know how anybody could disagree unless you are just completely off of Devin Funchess, like a lot of Twitter is. I know you like it. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I think it's a great signing. I really wish Funchess had gotten more than a one-year deal.
But yeah.
this is obviously one of the best spots for him to land on this short-term prove it deal. It's a great move for Indianapolis because they can figure out if he fits with the offense and then make a decision after that, and they don't really have any significant money sunk into it long-term if it doesn't work out. I like it for Funchess, though. I think he's going to be good this year. I'm trying to use this as a buy window if the owner is soured on him, although in most leagues I already own him, so it's not really applicable. But I'm not trying to sell because going to the Andrew Luck offense is one of the best-case scenarios. Andrew Luck, obviously a touchdown guy, kind of first and foremost, and Devin Funchess, probably the best fit in the offense, would be using him as a red zone weapon. I think it'd be used as more than that, but Frank Reich obviously seems very high on him, so I think it's a good signing. I think we'll probably see him over 100 targets, so I think it's great.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. So, you know, you're up on Tyrell. You're up on Funchess. So, Tyrell or Funchess?
Funchess.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he'll be more consistent. I think Tyrell's – he might end the year with better numbers, but I think I'll have more confidence on a weekly basis with Funchess.
That's fair. Definitely on a – you know, you can only hope that Indianapolis kind of extends him.
Yeah, and definitely in a dynasty context, Funchess, he's 3 years younger, so that helps quite a bit. He's basically the same age as Calvin Ridley and has 4 years under his belt.
See, the only thing about when you talk about a dynasty context that kind of scares me is what we've been saying is it's only a one-year deal in Indianapolis. So we already know that this offense is going to be amazing for wide receivers, but if they move on for him, and then he goes to a team like Buffalo, or somewhere where it's just a terrible landing spot, then, you know, then the dynasty context gets a little muddled. But, yeah, as of right now, I would agree with you. I would take Funchess over Tyrell. There are probably some people that disagree, but I would make that trade one for one. I think it's definitely fair. So, like that trade, like the move, like the player, like the team.
Yeah, and as far as the rest of the offense – the big question, obviously, is what are we doing with Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle? I want to hear your take on this because I don't have a strong one yet.
So I went into last year not a believer in either of them. I thought Doyle was kind of just a product of, you know, the outside threat of T.Y. Hilton, and he was there. He was a serviceable tight end for sure. And then Ebron's touchdowns, you have to assume are going to regress this year, especially with a healthy Doyle. Bring in a Devin Funchess. So I don't think either of them, I absolutely do not think that Ebron is going to repeat as a top five tight end. I think maybe Ebron gets into the back end of tight end one, of that tight end one category. It's just, there's really not a lot of tight ends after the top four or five. So that's the only thing that I'm reserved about. You have your Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, Ingram now maybe. And then, you know, Gronk is retired, which I guess I could talk to you about later, but I guess Ebron could sneak in there just because there aren't a lot of other options. Jared Cook, you know, to the Saints now. We'll talk about that next week, but I think Ebron's going to be the starter there. I think he'll still produce, but with Doyle healthy, I think they're going to split it. And then I think they're also going to lean on Marlon Mack a lot. So I think he's going to really, really benefit from this offense, especially bringing in Funchess and having those two dual threat tight ends. Both of them are decent blockers. So I think Mack is the real winner in this offense, of course, with Andrew Luck. But, I don't really want to touch either of those tight ends. If I have Ebron, which I did in one league, I sold him. I forgot exactly what I got. I think it's tight end premium, and I got a late round first for him.
I'd do that.
Yeah, and it just he has the ability. We all remember the combine that he has. He was a top 10 draft pick, so it's there. I just think that there's a lot of mouths to feed on this offense. So I'm looking at the running game, and then I'm looking at Luck, and then I'm looking at Hilton in that order.
Yeah, my only real take so far is we have a long way till the season, and so we don't have to decide yet. And so I'm just not going to commit to either one at this point because I want to wait and see.
Do you think they're both on the roster come opening day?
I wouldn't see a reason why they wouldn't be. So, yes, that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, I don't know what their contracts are offhand, but – I can't imagine they're a lot. I know they got Ebron for cheap and Doyle, you know, what? Obviously definitely for cheap. So they definitely – and we know that they have the money. So, yeah, I completely forgot that they're about $75 million under the cap. So they're definitely both going to be on the roster come opening day. So I would try and trade both of them. but it'll be a fun offense to watch. Like you said earlier, this offense is going to be elite, you know, for the next few years. And they're building the defense up with players like Justin Houston and Malik Hooker is a young player.
Darius Leonard,
defensive rookie of the year. So the team's going to be fun. I think it's going to be them, the Browns, and the Chiefs for the foreseeable future in the AFC with the Jets coming up in 2021. I could stay hopeful. Let's move on. We're going to start grouping up some of these receivers. You know, I just mentioned the Jets. So got Jamison Crowder, another slot guy. They're going there on a 3-year, $28 million deal. Let's see other slot guys. Randall Cobb, moving on from Green Bay to Dallas on a 1-year, $5 million deal. Danny Amendola going from Miami to Detroit. Philip Dorsett staying in New England. I guess you consider Jordan Matthews slot, sort of.
Yeah.
Going to San Francisco. Tavon Austin staying in Dallas. So out of those guys, obviously I'm leaning towards Crowder. I think he'll be nice in the slot with Sam Darnold, Le'Veon Bell in the backfield, Anunua, Robbie Anderson on the outside with Chris Herndon as tight end. So I think he'll definitely get opportunity there. You look at the same numbers that he had in Washington. And then other than that, you know, Randall Cobb's going to step in for Beasley. You have Amari Cooper on the outside, Zeke. So he'll get his. Still 29. So as long as he stays healthy, he can produce somewhat. And then I like Amendola in the slot in Detroit as well, to kind of replace Golden Tate with Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay on the outside. So out of the ones I just mentioned, what's your favorite? Are you buying any? Are you selling any?
Yeah, I'm definitely buying into Crowder. He's still only 25, which amazes me.
Yeah, very young.
But that's a good deal. I mean, like with some of these other guys, his agent did a nice job. He got more money than I would have expected. So that's a good sign, especially signing with a young quarterback on an offense that I think should start to ascend. So I like Crowder. They don't really have much else in terms of real strong wideout talent. So Crowder could certainly step into 100-plus targets is achievable for sure. So in a PPR league, I like him quite a bit. I think we could see him in the wide receiver 2 range. That's not out of the question. Cobb, I agree with you. I think he's probably going to become the number 2 sort of behind Cooper, which puts a damper on Michael Gallup more than anything.
Yeah,
I'm not particularly interested in Cobb because I think it's going to be very heavy run offense as we've seen the last few years. So I just don't think we'll see the pass attempts needed to support more than one fantasy relevant receiver.
Okay.
The good thing is they don't really have a fantasy viable tight end at this point. Huh. So you could kind of make the argument Cobb might be like a wide receiver 3. But that's probably, I think, his ceiling, unless Cooper gets hurt or something. But, you know, I'm expecting Cooper to have a strong year. So
no, yeah, I think Cooper's definitely going to – I think Cooper's going to be a front-end wide receiver 1, you know, top 6, top 8.
Yep, yep. So I'm in on Crowder, out on Cobb, sort of. But I really like Philip Dorsett out of this group. He's probably the one that I think has the highest upside. Well, it's not hard. It's not hard math here. It's Julian Edelman and it's Philip Dorsett. And there's no Rob Gronkowski. There's no Chris Hogan. Josh Gordon's probably out of the picture. They didn't bring back Cordell Patterson, who they used at wide receiver a little bit. So it's Julian Edelman and it's Philip Dorsett, and that's it. And so right now, Philip Dorsett is one of the top three, if you count James White, but he's a top 2 receiver on a New England offense featuring Tom Brady that doesn't have a tight end that's going to catch a lot of passes. So until they make some other significant move, whether it's through the draft or if they sign one of these guys that's out there, potentially Michael Crabtree. But until that time, Philip Dorsett's a starting receiver on New England and they don't have a tight end of consequence at this point. So easy math for me. Philip Dorsett is a big winner so far. I also like Jordan Matthews. I've been a truther of his ever since he came out, obviously hampered by injuries. And his production has kind of flown under the radar just because he was overshadowed by the other guys in that 2014 class. But he's put together a few solid years. So especially San Francisco, that they didn't get Antonio Brown, it's a thin enough depth chart that I think he has a chance to get some reps. And that's all he needs. So I'm in on Matthews for cheap, Dorsett for cheap. And who's the guy I missed here? Oh, Amendola.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested. It's obviously Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay's passing game. We saw Golden Tate put together some strong numbers there, but that was when he was one of the top 2 options. Amendola is, I think, pretty easily going to be the 3rd option behind the other 2 guys. So I would say I'm out on him.
Yeah, that's fair. Amendola is also the oldest of the ones that we mentioned by a wide margin. He's 33.
Yep.
Sorry, Matthews, 27. So Only thing about Jordan Matthews that scares me, yeah, I love the fact that he's on that offense with Shanahan, but it's only a one-year deal. And you have to imagine that they're going to try to address the wide receiver position in the second, third round of the drafts. Probably not the first round because of how early their pick is, unless they trade down, which very possible considering, you know, teams are going to be clamoring for the quarterbacks as usual. So that'll be something to watch. I do like Cobb there. And yeah, I agree with you on Jameson Crowder. You know, they're moving Quincy Enunwa. He already came out and said that he wants to play more on the outside. So they're going to put him on the outside. Crowder in the slot. And we saw in the first half of last year how much Darnold loves to throw to the slot receiver. Whenever Jermaine Kearse was in the slot, he would throw to him. When Quincy Enunwa was healthy, he would throw to him. So Crowder, one of the better route-running slot receivers in the league. So very good deal for both team and player there. I think it's going to be good for the development of the offense and going to be fun to watch. So moving on to a couple other players, Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, he's really a running back, but he's on Chicago.
Nope.
Not interested. Dante Moncrief. You know, I'm out on Moncrief, but the landing spot in Pittsburgh is something you have to think about. Josh Bellamy up to the Jets. That's strictly special teams. Andre Roberts to Buffalo.
Nope.
Chris Connolly to Jacksonville, I do like a lot. Breshad Perriman to Tampa. Dwayne Harris to Oakland. Then we're getting into the trash. So let's wrap it up with that group. Out of the ones that I mentioned, I'm highest probably on Connolly. You know, we talk about the combine and how you shouldn't put a lot of weight into it, but want to see some fun numbers. Look at Chris Connolly's metrics. Absolutely blew the doors off the combine. And he's always kind of been buried there in Kansas City behind, you know, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins when they brought him in. But kind of goes into a nice situation in Jacksonville with Nick Foles at quarterback now, and they lost Dante Moncrief, so it'd be him and Marquise Lee, maybe D.D. Westbrook. So I like him there. Other than that, nothing really moves the needle for me.
So I'm going to disagree with you, which is fine, I respect your take, but I'm not in on Chris Connolly because he had a chance to produce last year. He had a chance as a starter for a bit, and he was with arguably the best offense in the league, and he still didn't do it. So I just don't see it happening in Jacksonville with a worse offense if it can't happen when he's a starting receiver with Patrick Mahomes. He's had chances. I loved him for way too long, but at the same time, there's a certain point where if you get enough opportunities and you just don't produce, we have to accept that it's not going to happen. And if it's not right now, it's after this year with Jacksonville. So I could see being willing to give him one more chance because he has kind of always been the back end of the depth chart in Kansas City. And so now he has an opportunity to step into a real legitimate starting role that he's not thrust into due to injury. So I can see giving him one more chance. I'm just out by now.
So I'm looking at the Jacksonville depth chart, and you have Connolly, Westbrook, Marquise Lee, DJ Chark, Keelan Cole, Jaden Mickens. I have to expect that Connolly's going to start there.
I don't.
Right? You don't think so. So you think Marquise Lee is the one. I think we could both agree on that, you know, assuming he's healthy.
Yes.
Who's opposite? You think D.D. Westbrook's opposite him? I mean, I love D.J. Chark, but I don't think he's going to be starting yet.
No, I think it's Westbrook and then Cole.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, it'll be fun to watch. I disagree. I think – if anything, you know, how general managers, they go out, they sign players to decent money, which Connolly's contract wasn't anything special. It was 2 years, $5 million. But, you know, they kind of force to play somebody. I don't think Nick Foles is great. I think he's an upgrade from Blake Bortles. I don't think Leonard Fournette's that good. So I think they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. It'll be fun to watch. You know, maybe we'll think of some numbers later and we'll throw a little side bet on it, some side action. But
deal.
I like Connolly. So no, none of the other receivers that I mentioned really do anything for you then.
Well, we do have to talk about Dante Moncrief because as of now, there's no real strong indication that James Washington is going to be the number two. So sadly, as a James Washington enthusiast, I am kind of leaning towards the starting lineup being Juju Smith-Schuster and Dante Moncrief as the one and two, which I don't want, but it's definitely a real possibility. And he's still not old. He's only 25 years old. He's on a 2-year deal. And there are 150-plus targets vacated by Antonio Brown. So obviously the big winners are Juju and Vance McDonald. But at the same time, Moncrief could step into the number two role on Pittsburgh's offense. And you also have Le'Veon Bell leaving. So there are some targets left. I know James Conner sucked up some of those, but he's not the same pass catcher Le'Veon Bell is. So there are targets to go around. He could be the number two. So, yeah, I'm absolutely interested.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just so far out on Dante Moncrief. I can't watch him play. I think he's a terrible route runner.
Yeah, I think him as a player, but yeah, I'm just – I have to be – yeah.
I get it. I suppose, like, we all hope that James Washington emerges as a starter there and, you know, throw Eli Rogers or Ryan Switzer or somebody else in the slot. But I don't want to see Dante Moncrief starting there. I guess I understand what you're saying. I agree with you that the biggest winners were Juju and Vance McDonald for sure. But you know, I'm not going out and buying Moncrief by any means. You know, if someone is high on him, you know, if you could pitch it that he's going to be the number two behind Juju, by all means, sell him. Or I guess wait until he has a decent game, which for him would be 4 catches for 40 yards and a touchdown, and try and sell him then. But it doesn't do anything for me.
I think we've gotten to the point with Moncrief and Conley, I think, are both guys where essentially what we're advocating is gauge the market in your league.
Yeah.
You know, see if anybody's a believer in these players particularly. And, you know, make a move if the league consensus is higher than where you are, and, you know, buy otherwise. So just kind of gauge where you stand on these players in terms of their starting chances and where your league mates are.
Yeah, of course. And, of course, a lot of these depth charts could change, you know, after the draft, or, you know, there's been a lot of trades here in the NFL offseason, so maybe we could see a couple more of those. But, you know, looking down the list of other free agents that signed, there really is no one else. It was a lot bigger group that signed, much bigger than the running backs. The Bills spent the most on a free agent, spending $60 million on 3 players. But you know, you still have big names that aren't signed that probably won't be, such as Martavis Bryant. His time is probably done in the league. Dez is still out there. Rishard Matthews is still out there. Lord Aldrick Robinson. So there's definitely people out there, but Jermaine Kearse is serviceable. Michael Crabtree. So there's definitely people out there. We had a couple of retirings with Jordy. Jordy stepped away. So, and Jeremy Maclin. That's what I was trying to think of. Jeremy Maclin also retired earlier this week.
You're missing a couple guys here that I do want to hit on.
Go ahead, by all means.
So, kind of in the same way I talked about Philip Dorsett, as you have to buy in because of the situation. New England also signed to cheap deals, but they signed Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris each for 1 year. So, if they don't make another move at tight end or receiver, one of those guys is probably going to be the starting slot guy, or they might start outside and put Dorsett in the slot. But either way, one of those guys could very conceivably end up as a starting receiver on an offense featuring Tom Brady as a quarterback and not featuring a tight end that's going to catch a lot of passes. So these guys, as well as Dorsett, should all be free, you know, pick them up off the waivers, especially Harris and Ellington. But go pick it. You know, if you got the roster spot, I'm just advocating, go pick them up, see what happens. If they draft a guy, you just cut bait. It's no big deal. But this could be a waiver pickup that turns into a guy that will give you some solid wide receiver 2 or 3 weeks.
Sure. I understand what you're saying with New England's offense and how there's no one there. But we're
follow the targets.
Yeah, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel as far as talent goes.
Oh, you want to really scrape the bottom of the barrel. Kevin White signed a 1-year deal with Arizona.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested because Kingsbury came out and called him a dangerous player. But this is one of the decent spots here for him to go revitalize his career potentially. Obviously, he's struggled with injuries more than anything else, although he hasn't been good even when he's been healthy on the field.
Yeah.
But Larry Fitzgerald, probably his last year. I know we've said that for a few years now, but yeah. Other than that, it's Christian Kirk, and it's potentially Kyler Murray, or worst case, it's Josh Rosen. So He could be tethered to a young quarterback, and if he gets out, puts in some reps this year, Arizona could re-sign him after this one-year deal. So all I'm saying is stranger things have happened. He's another one of those guys that should be on waivers by now, so just go pick him up. If you got the bench spot, it could turn into something, and then as soon as somebody more valuable comes along, you cut bait, it hasn't cost you anything. So that's really scraping the bottom of the barrel, but that's what we're here for.
Yeah, well, don't forget about Chad Williams, too. Chad Williams is serviceable. He's on the team also, so I think those are your three starters with Fitz, Chad Williams, and Christian Kirk. So Kevin White's got to kind of battle to get the field, get on the field. But we'll see.
I have no allegiance to Chad Williams.
All right. Well, I have no allegiance to Kevin White.
Neither do I.
Yeah. But we'll see. They also went out and signed Charles Clay to battle with Ricky Seals-Jones. So they're definitely going to have a tight end on the field. So probably looking at three wide receiver sets for the most part, because they're never going to take David Johnson off. I don't have any other receivers. Next week, we're going to combine quarterbacks and tight ends because there was just not a lot of either. And then the fun part, we'll get into the rookies, the draft coming up in less than a month. So that's exciting, as well as Game of Thrones and Avengers and the Masters and a lot of – April's going to be exciting. So
a lot going on. Definitely a lot going on.
So we're gonna talk about the rookies, maybe get a mock draft between the two of us and maybe get some positional rankings. But I still got to put all my guys in order. I'm in the middle of watching some film and going over some of the metrics. Obviously, film first, metrics second. That's how I do it. but I'm starting to get them in order. And I will continue to say that I'm trading all of my 2019 picks because I'm just not interested in this class at all. But whatever. I'm sure people will want the picks come draft day and rookie hype will.
Right. Somebody will land in this spot.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's all I got. Mark, you got anything else to add?
Nope. Let's get out of here.
All right. Thank you for joining us once again. This is the Dynasty Degenerates podcast brought to you by Gridiron Expert. You can find me on Twitter at the Dynasty Owl. Find Mark on Twitter at Leopold NFL. We'll see you guys next week.